Yeah, I had we man cats on my next series.
I am all turned around on the mad cat. I'm actually, I reckon, like, if you're going to keep walking down the pitch and step out of your ground and still runs, well, then take the bails off, mate. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Another weekend review. The NRL season is a distant memory, but there's still a league going on. There was the, what's it called? PM's 13 playing against the PNG team. Didn't really see it. Not sure what happened there, but yeah, we will move on from the league unless something big happens in the Ashes in a few weeks. But the big event on the weekend was Bathurst, and I know you didn't see much of it, but I was saying to you before, as a once a year, I'd kind of watch a little bit of V8s here and there, but really it's only that once a year that I fully engage. I reckon they should just wet the track every week. Like, when the rain came in the afternoon, it got so much more watchable, because suddenly there was more accidents, which of course we don't want to see any getting hurt, but people were just sliding off, going real. At one point, one of the guys, he just got to the bottom of the dipper, and new tyres, and it just wouldn't turn, and couldn't get any traction in the braking, and he just slid like at about 20 k's an hour into the barrier and then got stuck. And so it's just like just run up all these different scenarios, and in the last sort of 20 laps, and they were sprinting around all these young blokes at the top of the field, it was like you couldn't turn it off because there was something every second. So yeah, I'd be voting for that. I know the motorsport purists are going to laugh at that, say you're an idiot, but mate, it was so good to watch. And the other thing is, you know, we talk about Brockie with nine wins at Bathurst, which is amazing, and you wouldn't imagine it's going to get beaten, but Garth Tander, at the ripe old age of 48, just hit six. So had a quick look at the winners, and Brock's on nine, then on seven is Lowndes and Jim Richards, and then on six, Larry Perkins, Mark Scaife. So we're talking about the legends of supercar, of touring cars, and then V8 supercars in Australia, and then Garth Tander tied on six with Scaife and Perkins. Unbelievable. I did another quick look to dig a bit deeper. He would have been the main driver for a few of those, but these last couple were as the co-driver for Van Gisbergen, so he's still going to do the job, but I think SVG was certainly dominant at that point, so you got to win them.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Go on.
Yeah. And just that picture too of sliding off at 20 k's an hour across the gravel and just nudging the tyres, and you're just watching your race go by. I mean, it must be unbelievably frustrating. And you've got to wonder what the mindset is when the rain comes down. It's like, well, do I just put the hammer down and go for it, or do I just sit at the back and just wait for everyone else to do their thing and maybe Bradbury my way across the line a little later?
It's funny you say that. I did see a meme where someone had chucked the V8 cars on those ice skaters from that image of Bradbury coming across the line first, and it was a bit like that. It's funny you said that about reducing the speed. Yeah. There were a few, because they were the young blokes up front, a few of the crew chiefs, fuck, that's probably not what they're called, engineers, whatever they're called in Australia. It's very crew chiefs, a very NASCAR thing. We're saying, yeah, just slow down a bit, like, because the fascinating thing was also, like, how long they were going to stay on the dry weather tyres, when they were kind of come in and change, were they going to change back because it cleared up a bit? Like, it was, again, fascinating because it was just so much happening. I think we've all been in those moments too when the car just starts doing things that it shouldn't and sliding.
Yes.
Once they get moving, they're hard to stop no matter what speed they're going.
And Bathurst is such a long race, and then all of a sudden it's not. It's like there's suddenly like five laps to go and everything just starts happening.
Yeah. I was saying that the margin, I think the last 10 or something, six of the last 10 have been within 1 second or something. Yeah. And the saying to you before we hit record, the young fella that had been leading for a fair chunk of that last 20 laps got nudged with a few laps to go, and the guy who nudged him got pinged 5 seconds. So he gets, even though he crossed the line first, he doesn't win it. But then the bloke who got nudged and ends up in fourth gets nothing. I know that's racing, but, mate, he would be feeling frustrated given how that all unfolded. He thought he had it won. But the other cool thing was Chaz Mostert, when his car shit itself at the bottom of the straight, he parked the car and then jumped the fence, and the punters, there's apparently some bloke there who's been there forever, Robbo or something, quite well known, and they handed him a beer, and he sat and had a beer with the punters there for a bit. Yeah, what a legend. That's
awesome. Hear
him to the fans. Yeah, so good. All right.
Yeah.
Cricket. Your thoughts on Aussie's call about potentially moving the Boxing Day test and New Year's test for the good of the game?
Yeah. Like, I'm not... I know he likes to... I think he likes to embrace change. I'm not so big on embracing change when it comes to cricket, especially the traditions of the game. And I know the Boxing Day test was a big thing with South Africa for a while there, because they didn't want to come and play a Boxing Day test because that was their thing as well. But we didn't move it. And we didn't like say, oh, no, we're not going to play a Boxing Day test. I just don't think you'd be able to wrestle it away from the Victorians, to be honest with you. And everyone else feels the same way. He's the least bit traditional. Like, it's the day after Christmas, you get to sit down, you get to forget your relatives that you met up with at Christmas, and you get to watch the cricket with your mates.
And eat leftovers.
And, you know, it's... And eat leftovers. And we've all got brilliant Boxing Day test cricket memories. And the thing that... And I might be like... but showing my age here, but I don't get those memories with any sort of 2020 cricket. I can't really remember any games of 2020 cricket. It seems very the most commercial thing about cricket at the moment, and nothing sort of sticks with me and goes, oh, well, I remember that and I remember that, but I remember test matches because you're so invested in it. I understand what he's saying. He wants players to be able to have a crack and get their money and make it as big as the IPL. But for me, nothing's bigger than the Boxing Day test. And that's from someone who lives in Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if we look at Boxing Day test last year, they got 373,000 across the 5 days against India. Like, that's because it's Boxing Day. Like, why would you move away from something that's just so profitable apart from anything else? But, yeah, again, sport has lost too many traditions. The daytime grand final has come up for debate again recently. But, like, they're things that work. Yes, you change things if it's going to make it better, but the proposal around making Big Bash more prevalent, like, there's only so much you can fit in now with all these 2020 tournaments all over the world that the players are wanting to prioritise. So I just don't get it. And it was good to hear Mitch Stark say, the only view I have on it is Test cricket schedule is not to be touched. Test cricket is the pinnacle. I don't think Test cricket should make way for T20 cricket at all, whether it's BBL, the IPL, anything. And then he says the Test cricket is the Test summer is the Test summer. I would hate to see that.
And the other thing you're
going to
do,
domestic cricket.
Sorry.
It's not a snipe at anyone, just my opinion of where Test cricket sits.
But the other thing,
love it.
Yeah, the other thing that's going to happen is that if you get the flood of Test cricketers back into the system, then that's quite a few places of people who would have been playing who won't be playing now. And it's for all that I've got my biases against the BBL, a lot of young players have come through and people have seen some exciting cricket off young players, which we don't see much anymore. I mean, we talked about it last week with our bowling attack. Our bowling attack is 35 plus, basically. And we want to see some new young talent float around. And if they don't get their chances, then especially on the big stage too, it's all well and good to play Sheffield Shield in front of nobody. But if you're playing Big Bash, at least you get that experience of being in front of a big crowd and being on national television as well. Probably international television, the way it's getting beamed around. So there are things to be said about playing young players as well in the mix.
Yeah, 100%. I agree totally. I'd be surprised if he get changed, but yeah, I just find it interesting that Khwaja, as much as I love him and his attitude, that he wants to dive on a whole lot of things that I don't understand why he thinks it's his place to say. But anyway, that could just be me. Then it's to Zach Crawley talking about he thinks Basball winds us up, Australia that is, and saying that all that stuff from last year, he's talking about the moral ashes after what happened, and he reckons they're in our head. But then as I saw the article that I was reading about this, it reminds our old mate that it was actually his mate Harry Brook that said that talked about the moral victory if we won that last one and made it 2-all because we would have won that other one with the moral victory. And mate, Australian fans, haven't they dined out on that one in the last 18 months?
Yeah, and well, how immoral it is to stump somebody. I mean, far out. And the same guy who tried to do it 2 matches before to someone else. So, well, they can say what they want. We sailed away with the ashes, waving, I've got them here. Come get them. Moral victories mean nothing. I don't remember any moral victories from any years past, unless it might be the
Nah.
Dogs or Liverpool. And that's just my
They
bitterness
do.
coming out. But no, nobody remember our victory. Nobody.
I just found it entertaining that he thought, like, we've gone on about it from a negative perspective. We've gone on about it just absolutely taking the piss for the last 18 months, and we've got a lot of great entertainment out of it. It's not like it's had a negative
Yeah.
impact. It's actually had quite a positive, and it's been very entertaining.
Yeah, I hope we man catch someone next series.
Actually, I reckon, like, if you're going to keep walking down the pitch and step out of your ground and steal runs, well then take the bails off, mate. Fantastic. I'm actually, what was it, old mate? It was the off spinner for India that he kind of upsets people a bit. But I'm on board with him. Like, if you're gonna take off, I'm taking the bails off, mate.
Yeah, whip them off. See you later. I don't even like the warning.
No.
They know to stay in their crease. Stay in your crease. See how
Spot
Bassball copes with that.
on. In all seriousness, though, I think I said it last week. I am a little bit concerned because suddenly the bowling depth's been tested. We're going to need Scotty Bill, the man of statue, Boland to take more wickets. They took to him in the UK, but when they were here last time, he certainly gets the ball to talk languages here in Australia. So, and we're going to need no injuries, and yeah, the depth is going to be tested. And I still come back to the same place. We're going to need runs.
You're worried about the batting, it'll be okay because there's just that little bit of extra bounce Australia. I think that's what assists him. He's just hard to pick off a length. There are some guys who just, I don't know, they can just get the ball to rise quicker than others. And I think he'll be okay. But I'm a bit worried about their stamina at their age, and they're all prone to injury. So, you know, that might be what comes down to it. If they all stay healthy, I think we'd probably get over the line if Steve Smith bats well. If not, yeah. I don't want to hear about it from the English fans. Let's just say that it'd be horrible summer if they got on top of us.
Well, just know that you will. If they do win, you will hear about it. Lucky I don't know any English people anymore.
Yeah.
Just joking.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a funny story I saw in the daily sports update that I'm on. It was one of the... So apparently... AC Milan are playing an actual competition match, an actual Serie A match in Australia against Como. So, like, yeah, unbelievable, and how great for Australian football. But one of the players, AC midfielder Adrien Rabiot, maybe? Yeah, French. Oh, that'd be Rabiot. I was surprised when I learned that AC Milan would be playing a Serie A match against Como in Australia. It's totally crazy, but these are economic agreements to give the league more visibility, things that are beyond us. There's a lot of talk about schedules and player health, and this all seems truly absurd. And I loved the counterpunch from the chief executive of the Serie A, who said he forgets that he's paid millions of euros to do a job, play football. He should respect the money he earns and accept the wishes of his employer, Milan, who pushed to play this match. Fantastic. Now, we all talk about these footballers and they get paid ridiculous amounts of money, but I did enjoy that coming back from the gaze of the blokes who pay the bills. Like, it's your job, mate. Just get on with it.
Yeah, and he can take away back for international duty and then fly back to their club. You know, it's not easy. And AC Milan's not a flight, and you'll be right. You know, it'll be a packed house and people will be singing and they'll come away from it. Australian football will come away better from it. Even if, like, just some young fans watch some of the football and how they do things, it'll be beneficial. So, you know, that's just a player whinging, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that will wrap it up. I think as we get closer to the first test, there'll be more cricket stories coming up. We're going to have to broaden our reach a bit. I might have to start, I know I said this before, but I haven't actually done it, watching a bit of NBL and a bit of A-League. The A-League starts this week. And probably still be watching a bit of League while the International Series goes on until we get through to the big stuff, the tests and the Ashes. So we'll have to make sure we stay tuned.
Yeah, and the Aussies are probably... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Keep going.
No, I was just going to say we're rolling down to the Aussie qualifying for the World Cup too. So that's on the horizon.
Say there was a massive delay then. Say that whole bit again and be specific about which World Cup. No, any of the good stuff that you've seen, let us know, and we'll make sure we add it to the show. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.